Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. As we come together and we just sing your praise and we give you the honor and glory due your name. Psalm 111, verse 9 says, "Holy and awesome is your name." So we give you the praise due your name. We love you, Lord. Be pleased in this house of worship today. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, the Bible says that there's a time coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You all heard that before? I mean, that time's coming. Everybody's going to say Jesus Christ is Lord. But can I tell you, the great privilege in life is to know God as your Father and to call Him Father and to say, yes, Father. Everybody's going to say Lord one day. But by faith in Jesus Christ, we become part of a family, the family of God, and we can say, you are my good, good Father, and I am loved by you. And that sets out who you are. And there ain't no greater privilege than knowing that in this life. So get to know God as your good, good Father. One day you're going to confess He's Lord anyway, but know Him as your Father.
Thank you.
don't ever want to get away from the simple gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ came and died in our place. He shed His blood for us. He took the righteousness that He had as the only begotten Son of God, and He said, here, this is a gift. I'm going to take your sin. I'm going to give you this. And y'all, that's it. I mean, all the other stuff is window dressing and going on with stuff, but that's it. He died for you. He died for me. And you put your faith in Him, and you will be saved. That's pretty awesome. All right, 90s class, are we ready to roll? Ready, break. Go, Nani's class, go, Nani's class, go. There they go. All right. Man, we ought to praise God for Nani's, right? For Nani's and Papa's too, and moms and dads and everybody who helps us in our mission of taking care of our youngins. I'm thankful for everybody who deals with them. Y'all do wonderful, and we're so grateful. Today we're going to have a church checkup. You know, like when you go to the checkup, you go to the doctor and get a checkup, except for I promise you get to keep all your clothes on and you ain't got to pay me no premium or anything when you come in the door, okay? You're good. But we're going to have a checkup, and part of the reason is it's been a minute. We took a break from our 1 Corinthians study there last week for Easter. We're going to take another break for Charlotte Ritchie this coming week, and so we won't get back into our 1 Corinthians study until the following week. So I thought, this is what a great time to do a little checkup and just see how we're doing as a church, and give us a little challenge, but also just remind us of who we are, what we're about, and what we're doing, because God made Christ Community Church different. He made us special. Okay? He designed us. He wanted us here. There wasn't nothing that needed us here or wanted us here, not in the world, not in the flesh, and not in the devil. It was God saying, I want a church where folks can come and where anybody can come, where everybody can come, and they'll all be welcome. That's the church that God wanted in Grenada, Mississippi. And a little secret, he wants one in every other part of Mississippi too, and all the other parts of the world. I wish there was a Christ Community Church that my grandmother, who just passed, could have walked into in Michigan and could have been accepted as a divorced woman in the late 70s, that she could have come in and found the grace of God instead of getting stiff-armed by the religious jerks who were populating those buildings they called churches, which were really nothing but tombs is what Jesus would have called them, and they stiff-armed a sinful woman who needed to hear about grace. But instead, they kept her at arm's distance. And instead of her saying that church was stupid, which is what she should have said, she said, God doesn't have nothing for me. And so I won't have nothing for God. And that's the way she lived. And as far as I know, she never turned from that for all eternity now. My hope is in God that when she finally got so bad in her dementia, and no one else could talk to her, that God was talking to her. My hope is that God turned her when she was only inside because there was no outside communication. Can I tell you, God doesn't need a preacher to save somebody. God doesn't need an evangelist or a missionary. God knows how to do it just right. And so that's my hope for my grandmother. But it reminds me of how I wish she would have walked into a church like this one, where they would have said, Julie, we're glad to meet you. We're glad that you're here. And she would have said, I'm divorced. I have 7 children, and I don't know what to do. And they would have said, well, I'm going to tell you that Jesus loves you, and we love you, and you're welcome here. Let's figure it out together. That's, in a story, why I love being the pastor at Christ Community Church. I remember at one point a man standing up, and we were taking testimonies, and we may have time to take a couple testimonies today. And, man, look at that guy. Hey, Philip Eads. He was just in the hospital. They just escaped you. They don't know. My bad. I meant to say Philip Reeds. Scratch that from the record. So, we're glad that Philip's here. He was in the hospital. He's facing some stuff, but he's here. And sometimes you get into a season of life where you just need to survive. Have you all been there? Where it's just survival? You know, you're not thriving. You're just surviving. That's all right. All of us go through times like that, right? That's like the story of my grandmother. But one time we were doing testimonies, like I was saying. Maybe we'll have, if you have a testimony you'd like to share, you don't have to. But if you do, just kind of be thinking later on in the service, might have time to share some. But we were having testimonies in church, and a man stood up, and he said, I like Christ Community Church because it's full of misfits just like me. And I thought to myself, that's why I like Christ Community Church too, because it's full of misfits just like me. I remember there was a time when one of the former pastors, the founding pastor, he went through a time. And y'all who know him and love him, you remember that time when his marriage dissolved. Which is bad news for anybody, but for a pastor, that's bad news. He said, where am I going to go? Where am I going to go to church? Who's going to accept me? Do you know where he went? He just stayed right at Christ Community Church and continued to minister and use his talents for the Lord, and was accepted and was loved. Man, that's the kind of church God meant us to be, okay? That's who we're meant to be. That's the church that God wants here, there, and everywhere. I'm going to read this passage just from the Gospel of Luke. I didn't give any prompting to the guys up there, so if they get it up there, just be one of those miracles. It's from the Gospel of Luke. If you see my outline, it's very detailed. I'm not going to try to go over all that. I'm giving you all that. It's kind of like a prescription. You know, you come to get to the doctor, and they give you a prescription. You can go home and read it and fill it out later, okay? But I'm going to hit some high points. And to me, the highest of high points that we can model our church on is in Luke 15, and it's about people who are celebrating the fact that lost things are saved. Following heaven's example of celebrating the fact that lost things and lost people can be saved. This is what it says in Luke 15. Starting in, I'm just going to read just kind of popcorn verses here. Verse 6 says, and when he comes home, this is the shepherd who found the lost sheep. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Then he tells the story about a woman who lost a precious jewel, really a coin, but it would have been part of a heirloom. It would have been so precious to her, and she lost it in her house. And she goes through sweeping and looking and searching, and when she found it, it says in verse 9, and when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, I have found the piece which was lost. And then that tells us in Luke 15 about a daddy. A daddy that had two boys. And one of the boys decides he don't want to live at home anymore. He got the wild hair. He just decided he wanted to go on, and he dishonored his daddy by saying, daddy, you ain't dying quick enough. I want the part of the inheritance that applies. Give me my money now. Give me my money now. And I imagine everybody that knew that daddy and that son said, don't do it, man, don't do it. He's going to blow it. He's going to blow it. But the daddy don't seem to care. He's like, here. And you know what that boy did with it? He blew it. He blew it, blew it, blew it. Hey, can I tell you something? Everybody who's hoarding up money to give to somebody else, they're going to blow it, blow it, blow it. I'm just telling you, especially if they're my age or younger, they are going to blow it, blow it, blow it. So you might as well do something kingdom worthy, or just give it without strings. Just get your expectations out of the way, because they're going to blow it. I'm just telling you, that's what we do. So this son goes out, blows all his money, becomes a starving person, wanting to eat pig food, and then finally comes to his senses. It's a beautiful moment where it says, light bulb! Why am I living like this? My father has workers who live much better than this. I'll go, give up my rights as a son, since I've blown the inheritance, since I've sinned so badly that no one would accept me as a son. But I'm going to go and humble myself and say, just make me a slave so I don't starve to death and die. He had so underestimated the love that his father had for him. He had so underestimated the value that the father had in his son. He just didn't get it. He just, as a kid, he just didn't understand how much his dad just wanted to see him and hug him and hold him. And can I tell you something? In the church today, we don't have any kind of clue. We so underestimate how much God loves us that he wants to see us and hold us and hug us and hear us and bless us. It's what he wants to do. We get caught up in all our behaviorism and all this work stuff and all this junk, and we underestimate how valuable we are to God. Even if you just have to go so far as to say, hey, he created me in his image, And his image has a value to him that's just incomparable. But I'm going to tell you something. He loves you. And when we think we've done something that he can't overcome through his grace, we have seriously underestimated how much God loves us. And so this boy starts coming home. And he's telling his story. He's rehearsing the story. Anybody ever been in trouble? And you rehearse your story in your mind? You know, you're trying to get your facts right? I think I told y'all about the time when I got in trouble and I was heading home. And it was only about a block and a half because I was just at a buddy's house. And so, I mean, we were supposed to be staying night. We all got kicked out. And I'm walking home and I'm thinking up stories. And I get home and I tell my mama the first story. And she looks at me and she goes, "That's nice, John, but why don't you try again?" All right, mama. So I cooked up another lie real quick because when it comes, I mean, I can lie on the spot, just blah. So I broke off another lie. She said, "That's all right, John. Why don't you tell me another one?" "Okay, mom, but you're going to wear me out in a minute. You know, you're going to wear me out lies. I'm going to have to tell you the truth." So I attempted to tell her this third lie. And she said, "John, your friend's mama done called me and told me exactly what happened. I've known the truth the whole time. Why didn't you just tell the truth?" And I'll tell you why I didn't tell the truth. I seriously underestimated my mama's ability to understand my situation. But she did understand my situation, and I didn't get in trouble for my situation. I got in trouble for lying to my mama, and I wish I had just told her the truth. And I think about how that applies to our relationship with God. We think it's the trouble we're in that's keeping that distance between us and him. We think it's all that mess that we got on. And the reality is he's saying, "I love you. I just want you back here. Just fess up, baby. Just tell me the truth. I'm ready to forgive. I'm ready to restore. I'm ready to reconcile." He is ready. God's ready for you and me. Isn't that awesome? So the boy's rehearsing this story. He's saying, he's doing the right things. "I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I'm no longer to be called worthy to be called your son." And all these things he's rehearsing. And he finally gets there. And I know you hear this story a lot, but it's so awesome. We need to hear it again and again. The father stops him in mid-sentence. Boop! Mm-mm. And he says, "My son is here." First off, he just ran to him. He runs to him. As if to say, "I've been waiting for this moment for you to change your mind and come back. And so when I saw you afar off, I've run to you." And he hugs him and he kisses him and he says, "Go get a robe for my son. Go get the sandals. Go get the ring and go kill something that's good to eat." And that's what they did. And they throw a big old party. Listen, verse 23. "And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and make merry. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. I know we don't use the word merry anymore except for like Merry Christmas. But what does it mean? Yeah, what does it mean to make merry? It means to celebrate, to be happy, to be joyful, to rejoice and say, "Whoo!" But I'm going to tell you something. Merriment is not something that you do alone. See, we kind of learn from this. What happened when the shepherd lost the sheep and he found it? It says he made merry, but what did he do before then? He called his friends together. Now, this is back in Jesus' time, so I mean, that's when they had flip phones, okay? I mean, the little screen, it was horrible. You had to punch like a letter like four times to get like the L or something. Or like, ding, 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 ding. You know, it was primitive. Primitive to call out at that time. Group texting was almost, you know, impossible. The Wi-Fi coverage was horrible. And so he calls his friends and he calls them together and says, "Let's make merry." What happened when the lady found her heirloom jewel? She went outside. That's probably how they really called people. "Hello! Party at my house! Buy my lost coin! Come and get it!" what she did. She called everybody together and said, let's have a party because I found this valuable thing and my heart is no longer sick with grief because it was gone. Now this man's son comes back. You know that boy? The whole time he was working the pig farm, never picked up the phone to call his daddy. Didn't ever do any of that stuff. Didn't Skype him. Didn't shoot him an email. No Snapchat. Didn't Instagram him. Didn't do any of that. Insta-snap him? Slap-a-lap him? He didn't do any of those things. Didn't FaceTime him? Didn't fake. How inconsiderate. Some of you kids can't go 5 minutes without having to do something with somebody to somewhere. Like, woo! He didn't do any of those things. That daddy thought his son was dead. That daddy thought his son was gone. That daddy's heart was broken. Until far off, he saw that boy walking up. And he said, oh! There! Is that him? Is that him right there? Right there with the cross on his t-shirt? Is that him with the blue coat right there? Y'all see him? Is that? Oh! Woo-hoo-hoo! And he hugged him up! Oh! He's so big! Look at how you've grown! Oh, the beard! It's coming in! There's no dignity to his. There was no formality. Can you imagine? Can you imagine standing on formality at a time when your son, who you thought was dead, you just see alive coming back to your house? Can you imagine being all formal and like, hello, son. How are you? I see you've returned. That's great. You want a sandwich? What in the world? Kid was starving, smelled like pig slop and pigs, smelled like pigs. Not figs, which would be okay, but pigs, not so much. He embraces him and loves him and says, yeah, why? Why if this passage is about the Heavenly Father, okay? Why? If he and even the angels in heaven rejoice in the presence of God when lost things are found, why? Why would we come to church and not celebrate? Why would we not come with a heart so full if for no other reason than I've been received back by him? If you've been received, if God is your Father, and he saw you far off, and at that time when you said to yourself, and you said to God, I know I can't make it without you. I know that my problems are bigger than I can handle, but I know and I trust that you can and you will if I turn my life over to you. So Father God, right now I surrender my will to you, and I give you my life, and I ask you to save me. Now that's a lot more sophisticated than the prayer I prayed when I got saved. When I got saved, I said, I believe there's a God. God, I know I've sinned against you. I believe Jesus Christ died for me, and I want you to be the Lord of my life. That's what I prayed. And I believe God answered because he was waiting on go. He was waiting and ready to receive me. If there's no other reason for me to be happy and saved than other than me just being saved, that'll all be enough. If you got to walk into a place and be a party of one, that's okay. But at Christ Community Church, because God made us different, this isn't a party of one. There's one guest of honor always. There's one head of the church. There's one Lord, one Savior, one God. But I hope I'm not the only saved person here. And I hope you realize the invitation here is an invitation to be merry together for what God has done for us. Does that make sense? This is what we want to do. This is who we were meant to be. We were meant to be the ones to where the least, the last, and the lost, the misfit, the one who has been isolated out, labeled because of their sin. I remember watching a movie and they called somebody can't get right. I mean, that's just their right. It's can't get right, huh? Might be like can't get right. And they're talking about why they call them that because they can't get right. Like they were beyond hope. You know, Jesus rose from the dead, right? You ever met somebody who's got a dead problem? Like they're dead? Like, what's your problem? I'm dead. No, you have never met anybody like that, just in case you were going to answer. No, because they were dead. And when you're dead, you're dead. But look, Jesus was dead, and now Jesus is alive. Part of what we get from that is this. He can solve any issue. There's nobody who can't get right in Christ. Okay, we might not can make it happen through the church or through our power or through our judgment, through criticizing and pointing fingers. Somehow in the church, we thought, is what got people right. But can I tell you, that's wrong. That never got nobody right. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance, according to Romans chapter 2, verse 4. It's the goodness of God that turns us. Read the end of the book. When the wrath of God is poured out, the ultimate correction, you know how many people get saved? Do you know how many people repent and then end up worshiping God? When the wrath of God is poured out, when the anger of God is poured out, when the big fist from heaven comes out and says, it's done. Y'all, people have already made up their mind by then. People are already hard-hearted by then. If you won't be turned by the love of God, by the grace of God, and the favor of God, you won't be turned. That's his intention, is to say, look at how good. And when we see the goodness of God, we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Be good to a sinner like me, an unworthy recipient, an unworthy son. Worthy only to be a slave. But he says, I'm not going to make you a slave. I'm going to make you my son. In this story, there is another son. There is another son. The man had two sons. The one ran off, right? He comes back and the father accepts him. The other one stands on formality. The other one is the religious church. I can't help it. I'm just telling you. It's the religious church. It's the church that held my grandmother at bay. It's the church that people go to and they don't feel comfortable because they're being looked at because people know their story or know their history. It's that church. It's that church where it's all about the in crowd and we got ours and ain't nobody else, and it's the standoffish. The older brother in this story in Luke 15 is that religious church, and he says, Dad, that's wrong. It's wrong to celebrate that. That boy was wasteful. That boy is sinful. That boy ain't worthy to be called your son or my brother. Don't kill the fatted calf for him. Look at all the things I do for you, and you don't give me a fatted calf to party and celebrate. That's the religious church getting mad. You ever been to a church where they're mad? You ever look at the expression on the people's face? You wonder, you're like, ooh, if you got whatever you got, I don't want. Keep it. Zip your lip and don't ever go on mission or evangelize, because what you got ain't right. Stop. God's going to take the light out of there and shut your doors. Maybe not soon enough for some folks, but God's timing is perfect. But I can tell you something. Stop that mess. We don't need it. We don't need any of the older brother religious gunk. We need to train people up in the grace of God. We need to love them and build relationships. And the most important thing we can do at Christ Community Church in the time that we're given is to let people know that God loves them. And he ain't going to turn back from that. He ain't going to turn out from that. He's not going to regret it. He loves them, and he wants to keep them and save them forever. But what about them religious folks? What does God feel about them? What do y'all think? What does God think about those folks who are all caught up in religion? Y'all know how I think about it. But how's God think about it? You know what he said to that older son? He said, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. Right before then, he said, son, come into the party with us. The father, the whole time, he was loving both sons. Y'all, we're not here to paint anybody out as being a bad guy, because I'm going to tell you, God loves us all. Even the folks, I do have a little bit of resentment that I got to be careful of, built up towards religiosity, because I've seen it hurt my family, okay? And I've seen it hurt people, and I don't like it. and I have a stand against it. But I'm going to tell you something. God loves those folks. God loves those folks. It makes me sad sometimes to think about how their perception is a little bit off because they're seeing it as something they got to maintain and they got to force on somebody else instead of receiving what God freely offers through God, through Christ, by grace. Instead of receiving, they're trying to earn it, they're trying to make it, they're trying to keep it, they're trying to force it, they're trying to shape it, and they're not trusting God with it. But I can tell you something, God loves them. I can tell you why Jesus Christ continued to talk to the Pharisees even until the point where he was crucified. Because those religious people were hellbound without him. If you read the passages, though, he was trying to win them the whole time. He says, you go to the scripture because you think in the Bible you find life, but the Bible testifies of me, Jesus said. And if you would come to me, I would give you life. They just couldn't make that switch. But I'm going to tell you, God loves them. So I'm not out hating any other church or hating any other like religious thing, but I'm telling you that Christ community, that is foreign to us. That's not in our DNA. We've come to look for the least, the last, and the lost. We have come looking for the prodigal, saying, where are you at? You, this is your church. You might not, you're far away. I know you seem far away, but come on. This is your church that God designed for you to come, hear about the grace of God, to be saved and not earned, but be given what Christ has earned. A home in heaven. We're that church. So when we think about this checkup, that's what I want us to get. I want us to get that sense of mission. I want us to get that sense of we are as weird as what we are. And I know y'all how weird you are. I mean, you're a good looking group, but you're weird. Right? You want to know how I know y'all are weird? Josh is too smart for this. He said, because we have you. That's right. Because I promise, when they came looking for a pastor, there was all kinds of things that they could have said. But the thing that recommended them, the thing that this church heard that perked their ears up that said, I think that's the man God's calling for us, was when they said, well, you know, he used to be a bouncer out at where he went to, you know, at the bar where he used to work. And they're like, a bouncer, huh? Might come in handy. So that's when they decided to call. What's about any other thing? You know, this guy's a godly man. He's a praying man. He's a witnessing man. He's whatever accolades. So he's used to being around drunk people, solving problems and beating up people when he needs to. Okay. I think we'll give him a call. Sounds like our guy. And we fit. We fit right away. It was really cool. But that's how I know how weird you are, because I know how weird I am. But you know what? God made us that way. God's made us this way. He's made this church different for a good reason, for a good purpose, because there's people that aren't going to walk into any other church. Christ community, we need to keep that. We need not only keep it, we need to grow in it. Man, we need to perfect it to the best of our ability. We need to be that church that makes merry, that says, y'all, come on. Yeah, but you don't know what I did last night. I didn't ask you what you did last night. You know, people always say, that deacon at that church, he drunk on Saturday, he's up in church on Sunday. Well, if he don't fit at his church anymore, he can come to our church too. Because it don't matter who you are or where you came from, come on. Come on to this place. The place where we trust God and not our ability to become more and more, more and more and more and more. We trust Him from beginning to end, top to bottom, side to side. That's our checkup. Where are we at with that? Now, I'm going to run through these things quickly because all that I just said, I was just fired up. Wasn't even out of here. No, I'm just kidding. There was four words I gave at the beginning of the year. Patience and gratitude were the first two, and they had to do with our perspective. How we see things. And one of the things God challenged me with and challenged the church with was to look at things with patience and gratitude. Patience being slow to quit and slow to retaliate. There's two different words in the New Testament used for patience. One is slow to quit. It means that you literally, it's like you have a load on your shoulder, like a burden, and you are under it, and its weight is upon you. And instead of dumping it off, you endure. You hold on, hunker down, and endure. Gratitude The other word is slow to retaliate. That means when somebody, you don't back. Got it? What did Jesus say about it? Somebody slaps you on one cheek, turn the other one to them. He didn't say knock them in the nose, right? He said endure it. Be patient. Somebody calls you something, somebody does something against you, don't go back and forth with them. Now, gratitude is when you realize the songs that we sing apply to you. You gave your life for me. You're a good, good father. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. Gratitude comes out of realizing these songs were meant for us to voice our praise and our thanks. And all of a sudden now, our life, our song, our poems have a Godward rejoicing to them, where we're thankful. The other two words, hospitality and celebration. Hospitality means that we are purposely, personally going out of the way to accommodate people who otherwise don't belong. Isn't that weird? Hospitality literally means love for a stranger. Love for the one that you don't know yet. Love for the one accommodating the needs of the one in need, even if you don't know who that is. God changed my prayer when I saw when I see a wreck on the side of the road. I used to pray, Lord, I'm praying for them. I hope it's not somebody I know. God was like, is it wrong to pray for people that you don't know? So you're hoping it's, I hope it's somebody else's somebody. So I started thinking, well, Lord, I hope it's not anybody I know, and I hope it's not anybody, any of my friends. Oh, so you're just going to pray for your friends. My prayer had to turn hospitable. So where now I pray, known or unknown, friend or foe, Lord, be with them and help them. Accommodate even the ones you don't know. Christ Community, we ought to be the most accommodating church you could ever find on the planet. We preach the gospel of salvation. We preach the gospel of grace. And we ought to have our doors just wide open like, come on, come on, come on, come on. The last one is celebration. That's what I've been preaching on. I'm just going to read the last verse in Luke chapter 15. It was right. In other words, correct. It was the absolute correct thing to do. It was right that we should make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead and is alive and was lost and is found. Does that sound like any songs you might know? Maybe by a guy who lived a horrible life, ended up being encountered with the grace of God and got saved. His name was John. Maybe even Big John. Big John Newton. And he sang, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. See, that ought to be the song of our heart. That ought to be the celebration. I know we didn't sing that really celebratorily, but I imagine there's ways of singing it that way. And there's ways to have your heart that way. There's ways to have your mind that's just saying, I'm so glad that God saved me. I'm so glad that God saved my kids. I'm so glad that God saved people I don't know and my friends and my family. I'm so glad we get to gather together and see what God's doing. And we just celebrate it. Y'all listen. Christ Community Church was planted by God, who used and continues to use unworthy servants to preach and to mold and to pray and to teach so that he can save by the grace of God all those he's calling, so that he can save the least, the last, and the lost, so that the blind can see. That's what it's about. Okay? That's what it's about. I didn't have time. I went past our time for testimonies today. If you have a testimony and you'd like to share, you're going to have to come back. You're going to have to come back. Okay? I'll put you on notice. We're going to have something. Somebody just has a burning testimony they need to share right now. Any burning testimony need to be shared right now? No, that's it. No, that's there.
No, but you were just now talking about praying for a stranger.
I don't know. No.
You were just now talking about praying for a stranger, and I was telling Bill this week, I don't know if y'all heard on the news about Tuesday night during the storm that the electric lineman was killed in Mississippi. And right away, for some reason, the Lord put on my heart, you know, I thought he's out there somewhere, and he was out trying to help people, and I started praying for him and his family. And then I don't know if you heard the follow-up story Friday morning on WTVA that his wife gave birth to twins Friday morning. And I don't know her, I don't know the family, I don't know if she's a Christian, but the Lord has just laid on my heart, and I thought, you just talked about praying for a stranger.
Yeah.
And I've just been praying that she is a Christian, I hope. And if not, that she's surrounded by Christians that will let her know she's not alone. Because I can't imagine what she's going through.
That's right.
To lose her husband and then 3 days later deliver two little babies. And she needs the Lord now. And so I just hope that as a church family, I don't know her name, but the Lord does.
You want to just lift up a prayer for her now?
Sure.
Just go ahead.
Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the ability to come to you and lift up these needs. And Lord, right now I lift up this young woman who has lost her husband this week in this terrible tragedy. And then 2 days later to have this beautiful joy of delivering babies in the midst of tragedy. And Lord, I do hope that she knows you. And if not, I hope that you would find wonderful Christian people to surround her and let her know she's not alone and that she can walk through this with you. And Lord, I would hope that all of us would remember her during this time and lift her up each day during our prayers. And Lord, I thank you again that we have this ability to come to you and lift up people that we know and that we don't know. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Time just for a brief, hey, I got saved, I got delivered, I got healed, I got free. Whatever, just a brief testimony like that, if anybody would like to give one. You don't have to. There's no obligation. I'm going to tell you something. Don't ever forget how much God loves you. Don't underestimate how valuable you are to Him and what you mean to Him and how He's going to bring you in. He's going to put that robe on you and that ring on your hand, those sandals on your feet, hug your neck and kiss your cheek. He loves you like that. Okay? And He meant this church to be that way. I'm going to pray for us now. We're going to have a time of invitation. If there's anything that you heard or said, and you might be thinking, it's kind of a strange sermon, I don't know what kind of checkup I got, but listen, if God started doing any kind of work in you where you might have said, man, I feel like I need to say something to God, I feel like God was doing something in me. Maybe you don't know how to articulate it. Maybe you just need to come down here and pray and say, Lord, whatever it is you're doing, I want to be a part of it and I want to surrender my life to you. Or maybe you just want to praise Him. Or maybe you just want to say, yes, Lord, I heard you. You can do it from your seat. God's not closer to you up here than He is right where you are. But I'm just telling you, don't go out without doing some business with God. If He started it, let Him finish it. If He started it, let Him finish it. And give Him full permission. Give Him full right in your life. Father God, we're here just to say you're welcome here in our heart, in our midst. Thank you for allowing us to come into your presence. Thank you for a time of praise. Thank you for all that you've done and are going to do. Thank you, Lord, for making Christ Community Church. And would you help us, Father? Would you help us, most importantly, to be that place where everyone is welcome to come and hear the gospel, to get saved and to grow. Father, we love you and we give you all the praise. Work in every heart. Father, work in every heart to move us and improve where we are to where you'd have us to be. And help us to always focus on you. We love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the checkups, if you look on that list that we gave, has to do with there's four commitments that we've asked people to make. And one was a commitment to God and our walk with Him. Two is a commitment to God in the real world, meaning your family, you know, your house, your responsibilities. The third one, and this is the reason why I bring it, is a commitment to grace giving. Grace giving is not based on, well, I've got this certain, or I've got to do this, or I've got to do that. Grace giving is when you say, Lord, I recognize that everything I have has been given from you, and I'm just returning a portion gratefully, giving graciously. And so that's that fourth commitment. And the third commitment, the fourth one is being committed to the ministry, to His ministry in the world. And so that's just part of the checkup. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward right now for the morning offering, but just kind of wanted to share that with you. It is a grace to give. Y'all know how we hold money. Tight. Money is just as bad an idol as any other kind of thing that can destroy your life. And I remember somebody reminded me, if you hold your money like this, you can try to keep what you have, but it's going to be like holding oil. He said, but if you hold your money like this, God can take what He wants, but He also can put in real easy what He wants. And so that's just one of those visuals. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And I pray that as we go forward, that you would continue to check us, that you would check us through your Spirit, through your Word, that we would be the church you would have us to be. And Lord, you've made it plain that you would have us to be wide open, a place that is looking for people to be saved and to grow. We're looking for people who need you. We're looking for hurting people, the least, the last, the lost, the immoral, the drunk, the crazy, Father, the blind, whoever, whatever, just bring them, Father. We're looking for them. Those who wouldn't come into another church, those who other churches said they can't get right, whoever they are, that's who we're looking for. And so, Father, thank you for it, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Treasure and kind of snuck up on us, but as we talked about this morning, Kay and Big John are leaving next Sunday, so they won't be here during service. So I thought if we could do a special offering for them, if anybody would like to give to them, I'll ask the ushers to come back up. And any checks you want to make out, you can just make out to Christ Community Mission Trip or Christ Community Missions. So just give what you can. Anything will help them. And I'm going to pray for it real quick. God, we just thank you for today. Thank you for Big John's message. And we just ask you to help them to go and do the things he's asking us to do here and to work for you. Just be with them. Keep them safe. And just bless this money and use it as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank y'all. Y'all got the announcements next week, Charlotte Ritchie. We're hoping to have a packed house, so you know we want to be hospitable, we want to be accommodating. Everybody who's a Christ Community Churcher, close it in, sit tight, hug up on each other, and leave some space. And you know where visitors like to sit, in the back. They like to in the back, so we'll come up front. All right. Let me pray for us, and then we'll go. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we had to be here to worship you and to hear your word. And Father, thank you for making the church that I needed to be at and doing that at Christ Community. Lord, we give you all the praise and we love you. And we pray your strength and just your mercy on us all day long. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thank you all for letting me be your pastor, and I love you. Ready? Break!